السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who are listening over the receivers and those who may be listening over streaming. Alhamdulillah, we have gathered tonight to listen to a talk which will be centered around the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we should rather say that inshallah the talk will be centered around the lessons which we can derive from the Mi'raj which took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before we get into the discussion, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it a means of inspiring us and motivating us. They say, kamyabi to kaam se hogi, na ke husn kalam se hogi. Kamyabi to kaam se hogi, na ke husn kalam se hogi. Zikr ki iltizam se hogi, fikr ki ihtimam se hogi. That we will achieve success and we'll only succeed in life if we become practical. If there's practical implementation, then we will really get somewhere. Na ke husn kalam se hogi, by giving beautiful speeches, as our late, as in Moinus Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. And unfortunately or fortunately, you will be hearing us quoting him more than anyone else. We don't have anything ourselves. Whatever we will mention will be nothing but what we have heard from our elders. So he used to say that today we have so many bayans and talks that they can now list it on the stock exchange as bayans unlimited. So many bayans, now you go on the internet, this button and that link and this button and this link. There's an explosion of deeni knowledge and opportunities to learn with regards to deen. But are we really seeing the change? Are we really seeing a revival of the deen of Islam? So there's something wrong. The reason is that we have become such that we merely attend the bayans for entertainment's sake. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq that we change our intention, and our intention should be that it is now the month of Rajab. Soon will it be the month of Sha'ban, and then the month of Ramadan. This is an ideal opportunity for me to change the direction of my life. Umr ho rahi hai mithl barf kam, chupke chupke reh, rafta rafta dam badam. And every one of us should address ourselves that my life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Slowly, silently, with the ticking of every single second, with the passing of every single hour and every single day and every single week and month and year, my life is melting away. This valuable asset of time is such that with regards to time, man is at a loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has mentioned, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. By the token of time, by the qasam of time, man is at a loss. When it with regards to time, once that second is gone, will never return again. The day that passed, the Ramadan that has passed, it will never come back again. Our lives that have gone away, we cannot bring back one single second and moment from it. So it is an asset which is melting away. And we have to treasure every single second and moment. If inshallah we can take that much from this bayan, then I need to look forward and look at the few days that I have left. Because that's what it is, respected elders and brothers. We just don't know. Today, we are living in such a high-speed era. Technology has advanced to such an extent. It's unbelievable. Just within a span of 10 years, what technology has achieved within a matter of seconds. Communication from one country to another country, from one continent to another continent. Information passed from one continent to another continent. Things are being streamed within split seconds and seconds. But similarly, people's lives are terminating within seconds and moments. The person is with us a few moments ago, and then within, by the evening, the person is gone. So our life is just like that. It can melt away and it can expire within seconds and moments. And that's why we need to value and treasure every single moment that we have. Our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Like the example of a person who is selling ice in those days, India, Pakistan. The person would stand at the side of the road selling this huge block of ice. They didn't have air conditioners. They didn't have fridges in those days. Or it would be very difficult to get access to it. So that person who was selling that ice, he knew that I need to sell this block of ice as fast as possible. The longer I take, the more time I waste, the less I'm going to get in terms of money with regards to this ice. Our lives are like that. The more we procrastinate in changing our lives, and our youth out there, shaitan will whisper within our hearts, no, you are still young. Enjoy life. Enjoy. When you become old, then you can make tawbah and istighfar, and then you can change your life. This is a deception of shaitan. The time to change is now, for tomorrow could be too late. So that asset of time is melting away. It's melting away. It'll never come back again. The longer we take and the more time we waste in investing this asset of time in the year after, the less thawab and a'mal we will get. And the less rewards we will achieve in the year after. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to treasure and value this month of Rajab, this month of Sha'ban. Look at the amount of janazas that are taking place in this month of Rajab. Our late Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi passed away in the month of Rajab as well. So nevertheless, coming to the bayan itself, we said that the objective and the purpose of the bayan is that it must create within ourselves a fikr. Kamyabi to kaam se hogi, na ke husne kalam se hogi. Zikr ke iltizam se hogi, fikr ke ihtimam se hogi. That consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to become part and parcel of our lives. When we say zikr ke iltizam, it does not mean we should not confine it and restrict it to holding the tasbih and reciting zikrullah. Some people feel that when you say zikr, so it merely means that you sit in the masjid after fajr or after asr and you make dhikr. They've restricted dhikrullah to that. Whereas dhikrullah is a very broad, it covers a variety of aspects in our lives. We could simply define it as this, that at any given moment, which command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directed to me? That now the time, the adhan of Isha has been given. Now the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I need to prepare myself for the Isha salah. My parents are not well, they are feeling sick. Now the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I must serve my parents. So now that individual who now serves his parents, that too will be regarded as zikrullah. To such an extent that if a person leaves his home to earn a halal livelihood, ulama-i-kiram have drawn a parallel and given the example of an individual who sits in the masjid, engages in zikrullah, and he does not fulfill his responsibility, his wife, his children, rent, lights, water not sorted out, he is stuck in the masjid making zikrullah. And on the other hand, you have another person who fulfills the necessary ibadat, the faraid, the wajibat, but he goes out into the marketplace, perhaps he's selling potatoes and onions as an example. Ulama-i-kiram state that that individual who goes out in the marketplace to sell potatoes and onions with the intention that he will fulfill the responsibility of his wife and his children, he will be getting more reward than that individual who's sitting in the masjid making zikrullah and not fulfilling his responsibility. So look at how perfect the deen of Islam is. So zikr ke iltizam se ho gaya. At every moment which command of Allah Ta'ala is focused upon us. Fikr ke ihtimam se ho gaya. We have to develop that fikr. Today, unfortunately, this has become the disease of the time. Our late Mu'ayyun Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, and the opposite of zikr is ghaflat. He said that ghaflat has become the sickness of the time. He said ghaflat is that hen which lays a lot of eggs. And what is that ghaflat? Heedlessness. We have totally forgotten our purpose and objective in life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this little program a means of developing some kind of fikr within our hearts. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, with regards to the incident of Mi'raj and tonight in particular, we need to first of all correct our beliefs and our aqeedah. With regards to Mi'raj, this was a great gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We do not have the time to go into the detailed aspects of Mi'raj, but we may have learnt and heard from many talks how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with that journey by night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. There he was appointed and given the good fortune of being the Imam of the Anbiya. From there he was taken to the seven heavens. At each heaven he met the various Anbiya. Discussions took place. And then of course the pinnacle and the climax, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conversed directly with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, if you look at the books, and if you look at the various traditions, with regards to whether Mi'raj took place tonight itself, there is a difference of opinion. And the reason for this is that when it comes to celebrating events, as a believer and as a Muslim, this has got no place in Islam. We need to celebrate, for example, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by implementing the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. That is the real celebration. And similarly, with regards to this night of Mi'raj, if we study and look at the books of history, you will not find that the Sahaba Ikram celebrated this event. And these are our leaders. These are our role models. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiyin. He said, follow my way and the way of my khulafai al-rashideen. So nevertheless, as far as celebrating birthdays and these kind of things, we find that in our own lives, we tend to, unfortunately, ape and follow the way of the disbelievers. Just because we see them celebrating the birthday of their children, sometimes the children will come home and say that, well, my friend, they celebrated his birthday, what are you buying me for my birthday? We need to educate our children. We need to mold our children. That there is nothing really to celebrate. If we really ponder over it, we just mentioned and spoke about the asset of time. That I am getting older. I am 1 year older. Is it really a moment of celebrating or a moment of introspection? Should I really be laughing or should I rather be crying? That, Ya Allah, 1 more year of my life has passed away. It has passed by. And I have wasted so many golden opportunities. Ya Allah, I have moved 1 year closer to my grave. Allah, I am not ready and I am not prepared to meet you yet. Allah, I have become so attached to this world, and yet I am moving swiftly towards my grave and towards my qabr. That little child is growing older. He's coming closer to bulugh, he's coming closer to holding the mantle of Shariat upon his shoulders. Is it really a moment of celebrating, or is it a moment of preparing himself? So we need to look at things differently. Allah has given us a beautiful deen. Unfortunately, we all suffer from an inferiority complex. We have the most beautiful deen. Wallahi, Allah has given us a perfect way of life. Perfect way of life. Outwardly, the way of the disbeliever seems to be bright and shiny. But the reality is, when you look deep down, there's nothing but filth. For example, a simple example. The person will be applying all the sprays and perfumes. But a simple little thing that we have been taught in Sharia, the person goes to the toilet, relieves himself and uses water. Now for them, there's no such thing as using water. So the person will go in the bubble bath and he'll be soaking himself there. That water has become polluted because he didn't even wash in the toilet. And then afterwards he will wipe himself and put some spray. And we say, these people are very civilized. Hazrat Wala Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawarullah Marqadah, when we heard this example from Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah, he went to England. So the person was sitting there and he had his dog in the car on the passenger side. So he had a toffee. So he was sucking the toffee and he was giving the dog a suck too. So he said, these are the people. We want to make these people our leaders who have made dogs their leaders. But a beautiful point he mentions is that those people who have abandoned the abdiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals who have abandoned the bandagi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has made them ghulams of dogs. They are now serving dogs. The person will, his life is his dog or her dog. They are writing their estates in favor of their dogs. So Allah has given us a beautiful, perfect deen. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to this night of Mi'raj, really we need to look at the lessons that we can derive from this night of Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. That glory be to that being who took by night abdihi, his servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word abd and servant, and we can take an important lesson from this. And that is tu barai bandagi hai yaad rakh. That remember, O insan, you have been created for the bandagi and the abdiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is alluding to the fact that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reached the highest level of abdiyat. And because he has reached the highest level of abdiyat, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with this good fortune of reaching the highest levels. The more abdiyat we will develop in our lives in servitude, that we are the servants of Allah Ta'ala. We are the ghulams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is a ghulam? What is a ghulam? Khaja Azizul Khaja Hasan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, once purchased a slave. So he told the slave that, what is your name? So he said, no, whatever name you give me, so that is my name. So he said, what food would you like to eat? So he said, whatever food you give me to eat, I will eat that. He says, what clothing would you like to wear? So he said, whatever clothing you give me, I will wear that clothing. So he said, don't you have any desire of your own? So he says, what has a slave got to do with desire? Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi freed him. He said, you taught me such an important lesson. That what a servant you are. What a servant I should be. That I am only giving you food and clothing. And I am not giving you a place in some shelter to stay in. But my Allah has given me everything. My Allah has given me my eyes, my ears, hands, liver, lungs, all functioning. Allah has brought me into existence from non-existence. I am totally dependent on my Allah. What kind of an abd and servant I should be? I should be a total slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real objective and purpose for our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have not created man and jinn except that they become my bandas, my slaves, my servants. We have to totally annihilate ourselves. And when we develop this annihilation, then a person will reach the highest stages. Once as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are performing tahajjud salah to such an extent that hatta tawarramat qadamahu, he would perform salah to such an extent, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his feet would begin swelling. So he responded, She said that Allah has forgiven all your sins. وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah has forgiven all your sins. Why are you applying yourself to this extent? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If Allah has been so merciful to me, if Allah has been so kind to me, if Allah has honored me to this extent, if Allah has showered so many favors upon me, then should I not be a abd of Allah Ta'ala, a grateful abd of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? We need to implement this lesson in our lives. And if you look at our lives, sometimes we become despondent. Life is full of ups and downs. We are going to go through some kind of difficulty, turmoil, depression, sadness. This is dunya. True happiness and enjoyment will only be in Jannah. I met one brother on the plane. So a discussion ensued. He was a Muslim brother. And after talking, he mentioned some personal issues. And then he said, Maulana, I have reached a stage now where I feel like taking my life. His business went down, he became insolvent, he lost this and lost that. This is going wrong in his life, that is going wrong in his life. With his barakat, Allah Ta'ala put this example in the heart. So he mentioned to him that, listen, we are sitting in the plane now. We feel safe and sound because we know there is somebody that's controlling this plane. And we know the person who's controlling the plane is qualified in the field. He's gone to university, he's got his degree. So we feel safe. And we've resigned ourselves to him. The pilot knows what he's doing. Whichever direction he flies me, he knows what he's doing. Even if there's a little turbulence, we say, no, pilot knows what he's doing. He said, now our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is piloting our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is piloting our lives, and whichever direction Allah ta'ala decides to take us through, sometimes we will go through some turbulence. Sometimes the turbulence is because of our own wrongdoings, our own weaknesses. We have now, for example, introduced interest into our businesses. And now there's some turbulence. Now we need to accept and we need to realize that it is our own wrongdoing. We will go through some little turbulence. But at the end of the day, a believer resigns his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is piloting my life. Whichever direction my Allah takes me through, that's the best way. Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, us raah ko ashal dekha hai. Whichever direction my Allah takes me through, that's the easiest, the best way. If a person now becomes depressed and despondent, in other words, he's saying that, no, this shouldn't have happened in my life. Why is this happening like this? It must happen this way. My life must go in this direction. So he wants to take control of his life. Whereas Allah is controlling our lives. Resign our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the cure for depression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to develop this quality of abdiyat that we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Resigning our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected elders and brothers, this night of Mi'raj and this incident of Mi'raj, if we look back in history, and look at when it had taken place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there too, there are so many lessons that we can learn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the ulama ikram state that it took place prior to the hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkatul Mukarrama. And we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his stay in Makkatul Mukarrama, he went through nothing but trials and tribulations. Mocking, his sahaba ikram were assassinated. What kind of difficulty Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an objection will come in the mind, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go through such difficulty, trial and tribulations? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have just sent down from the sky some malaika and angels. They should have immediately wiped out the disbelievers and defended the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his most beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go through difficulty. The lesson that we learn from this, that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so precious, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even allowed his most beloved Nabi to go through difficulty in uplifting and upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why those who are involved and engaged in the khidmah, in the service of deen, do not become despondent. When you will face criticism, when you will face opposition, just ponder. Ponder over the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once in the office of our late Hazrat Maulana Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the madrasa, there was one particular brother who was going through depression. So Maulana rahmatullah alayhi had the frame of the green dome in his office. Those brothers who had the good fortune of going will know exactly what I'm talking about. So he had the frame of the green dome in his office. So Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi told him that by see, whenever you're feeling depressed, get one frame like this here and you just look at the frame. And just ponder that the one who is resting beneath this frame, what kind of trials and tribulations and difficulties and challenges he faced in his life. When you will ponder and realize, then you will realize that what you are going through is but a drop in the ocean. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life was nothing but struggle, nothing but trial and tribulation, poverty, hunger. So respected elders and brothers, that in the line of deen, a person will go through trials and tribulations. You should not lose hope. You should not become despondent. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asra bi'abdihi laylam min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. So this journey by night took place. There are many details. We cannot go into the detailed discussion. The buraq that was sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a special kind of a conveyance. In those days, a person couldn't understand that. How is it possible for an animal or a conveyance to travel from one place to another place in a matter of seconds? But today with technology, we see it happening. How high-speed technology, people are breaking the sound barrier, Mach 1, Mach 2, and all the different sound, supersonic and hypersonic, and who Allah knows best what is happening. This is man-made. If Allah has given man the ability to create such high-speed conveyances, then what is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create that buraq that travels at such lightning speed? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today it has become very easy for us to understand these things. In those days it was difficult. One person told us in Ma'ayyus Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that you talk about this two angels that are sitting on the shoulders. They write down everything that you're doing. So it doesn't make sense to me. Because by now, from the time you became baligh, they're writing down everything. So by now, they left such a big scroll that the shoulders would have been so big that you probably wouldn't find a coat to fit your shoulders. So as Maulana Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah Ta'ala had given him that kind of wisdom. So he said that, bhai, so you studied and got a lot of qualifications. So he said, yeah, where you studied? He said, studied here, there. So you must have gone to many universities, read a lot of books. You must have visited many places. He said, yeah, met a lot of people. Where else you went? Went on and on. So he said, now all that information, where is it stored? It's stored in your head. So by now your head should have been so big that you don't find a hat to fit on. So subhanallah, today we see information, thousands and millions of pieces of information stored on one simple little chip. Small little chip. And now they talk about clouds. Information is stored on a cloud. So today with technology, it's become so easy for us to understand these things. And this is what Allah has given man the ability to do. What then is it difficult for Allah Ta'ala to create these kind of things? So there Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled by night. And he became the imam and he was given the mantle of imamate of all the anbiya. Again showing the status, the stage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really respected elders and brothers, this is such a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that Allah has selected us to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest ummah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We didn't do any application or registration. We didn't make any request. Allah Ta'ala only out of His kindness and mercy selected us and chosen us to be amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to treasure this. We need to value this. That if Allah has blessed me with the ability to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need to appreciate this fact. And how do we appreciate this fact? That let us implement within our lives the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah has declared in the Quran al-Kareem that in the manners and in the ways of Rasulullah SAW, is an excellent example for you. Both externally and internally. Both aspects. We need to become complete and perfect ourselves. It's not only one area. Yes, we talk about the beard and the kurta and all those aspects. Extremely essential and important. But there is also the internal aspect. That internally we need to become Muslims in the true sense of the word. The person sometimes, it's very sad. He's a Muslim. He's in the first serf. But he's doing this here. He's doing that there. One person mentioned to me the other night, the brother, now something happened in the flat that he's renting. So the landlord refuses now to repay it. So he told the landlord, you need to repay it. So I said, no, I don't have the money to repay it now. Just carry on staying there. So I said, well, at least you have reduced the rental since now there's no more two bedroom or three bedroom flat. One room has gone down. So make it reduce the rental. He said, well, if you're not happy with the rent, then get out. And just get out. This is the akhlaq of a believer. Another question is, a person is staying in a flat, which is now not, one room is not available. Where is the consciousness? So outwardly the person is portraying Islam, and outwardly the Islamic aspect has come right. But unfortunately the thing is that we have restricted Islam to the masjid, or we have restricted Islam to the external. We need to internalize Islam and become perfect Muslims. Perfect ourselves, perfect our akhlaq and our character, that when we are in the masjid, we are true Muslims. When we enter the home, we are true Muslims. When we are in the business, we are true Muslims. Then, respected elders and brothers, we do not need to really invite people towards Islam. They will just look at our character and our akhlaq and say, if this is Islam, then I want to become a Muslim. If this is what Islam teaches, such honesty, such kindness, such compassion, such mercy, then I want to become a Muslim. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, moving back to what we were discussing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this mantle of imamat, all the anbiya-i kiram, showing the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grandeur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to the seven heavens. He met various anbiya, as Adam alayhi salam in the first heaven. Ulama-i kiram give the reasons why Adam alayhi salam, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken him out from Jannah and he had to go into this world. Similarly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be taken out from Makkah al-Mukarrama soon, and he will be going to Medina. His own people will be taking him out of Makkah al-Mukarrama. Thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the next heaven. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, all these anbiya went through trials and tribulations for the sake of deen. Hazrat Yusuf ala nabiyina alayhi salatu wassalam, and there again the ulama-i kiram state that the people, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, his own brothers turned against him. But then later on, they became loyal to him. So, O Nabi of Allah, your own family members will turn against you. And that's exactly what happened. Later on, they too will become loyal to you. Thereafter, Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and finally, the various things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this night of Mi'raj, and we can derive some important lessons in this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown Jahannam, was shown Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the various punishments of the people of Jahannam. Now this is not difficult for Allah today. A person, many things can be shown to a person, whether it's in the form of pictures, whatever it may be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the punishment in Jahannam, for example. Various punishments, which are those which are relevant to us, we will discuss. Now for example, it is mentioned that there were a group of people whose heads were being crushed. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Their heads were being crushed in the pits of Jahannam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inquired from Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, that who are these people? He said, these are those individuals who used to sleep during the time of Salah. That while Salah was being performed, they were sleeping. They were neglectful and negligent of their Salah. This is their punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Similarly, there were those individuals who were eating. They had good meat on one side and decaying and rotting meat on the one side. They were going and they were consuming the decaying and the rotting meat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi said, who are these individuals? So these are those men whom Allah Ta'ala blessed with halal wives. But instead of going to the halal wives, they went to haram women. And these are those women who Allah blessed with halal spouses and husbands. But instead they went to haram. This is the punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Then there was another one. We can derive a lesson from this. that there was an ox which came out from a very small hole. That ox came out from the small hole, and then it's trying to go back into the hole, but it cannot go. Vikram Sasam said, "What is this?" I said, "This is that individual who uttered a statement. He uttered a statement, and then it caused some harm and damage. And now he wanted to retract the statement, but now he could not retract the statement." So from here we learn the important lesson of guarding, safeguarding and controlling our tongues. Sometimes we just blurt out and mention certain things. One poet very beautifully says, he says, جِرَاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ اللِّسَانُ. That the wound which is afflicted with the spear and the sword and a sharp object, that can still heal. But the wound which is afflicted by the tongue, that sometimes never heals. This tongue is extremely powerful if you really consider and think about it. And we especially as men folk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ability of accepting a woman into our nikah and similarly breaking that nikah merely by the tongue. When the Imam Sahib performs a nikah, so he says, "Do you accept?" Or "Nakahtuha." So the person says, "Nakahtuha," with the tongue. Merely by that mere statement of the tongue, the woman has become permissible for him. And similarly, if he fires those three bullets of talaq, he can completely destroy that nikah. And why do we give the example of a bullet? That when a person fires the bullet, the damage is done. And you cannot bring that bullet back into the barrel. Some people say, "No, I gave it in anger." Talaq is such a thing, respected elders and brothers, learn one masala. It's such a thing that even if it's given in anger or in happiness, jokingly. I recall when we were young, there was an incident where newly married couple, our local imam at that time even discussed this issue to educate the masses. And this just married for 2 or 3 weeks. And whilst joking and playing, the husband told the wife, I should give you 3 divorces. Afterwards, the wife said, "You know what, I don't think you should have said that. We'll find out from the imam, sir." And they found out the nikah was broken. Because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that there are certain things, the gist of that hadith, that whether it's mentioned seriously or in jest, it falls. And one of those things is nikah. And one of those things rather is talaq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us men the ability to issue that talaq. Why has Allah ta'ala given men that ability? Because generally men are supposed to, I use the word supposed to, be able to control the emotions. Unfortunately, nowadays many men are behaving more like women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we need to always keep our emotions under control. Control our anger, control our temper. Remember that the women that we have in our homes, they are not our slaves. They are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we should not treat them like slaves. They have made great sacrifices to be in our marriage. They left the tender love and care of their parents and their fathers and their brothers. They've left their home completely and they've come into our homes. We should really be treating them like queens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife. And I, meaning Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, am the best to my wives. As Aisha radiallahu anha, she states that your son rises, addressing the people, that your son rises in the day when the sun rises. But my son rises at night when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enters the home. He used to brighten up the whole home. And yet we just mentioned earlier, there was no individual who had more difficulty, trials, tribulations, problems, fikr and worry than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Despite all of that, when he entered the home, he entered with a smile. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. So therefore, this is an important lesson that we need to learn. That when we enter the home, enter with a smile. Treat our wives with love, with kindness. That when we leave this world, they are crying. There was one incident I recall, where the husband passed away and the wife mentioned, she said that everybody was crying, but I couldn't cry. In fact, in my heart, I was happy. I was actually happy because of the abuse that she went through, the amount of abuse that she faced under that particular husband. Allah protect us from that kind of abuse. As a result, she was actually happy that, you know, good riddance. Good riddance. So really, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi mentions on this point, he said that when you came into this world, people were laughing, and that little child yourself, as a little baby, you were crying. He said, now do such actions in this world that when you leave this world, people are crying and you are smiling. You are happy to meet your Allah. You have conducted your life in such a way that people are crying. And we saw it with our late as a Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. Whoever you meet, the person is always, is a tear in the eye. Hazrat was like this, Maulana was like that, so kind, so considerate, so much of love, so much of kindness. Don't know what we've lost, could never replace him. What was it? That they conducted their lives in such a way that people loved them. That kindness, that compassion, internalizing the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, becoming a true believer and Muslim. Now that was another incident. Then, on the positive note, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions with regards to Jannah. Jannah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was introduced to the gatekeeper of Jannah, and his name was Ismail. Beneath him, he had 12,000 angels, just for the gates of Jannah. And subhanallah, beneath every 12,000 angels was another 12,000 angels. From that we can imagine, respected elders and brothers, the vastness of Jannah. It is mentioned in the riwayat that the last person who will enter Jannah, the last person, he went, lived a life of sin, disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, but he had the ticket of Jannah. He had Iman. He believed in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he had to cleanse himself. When he will emerge from Jahannam, it is mentioned in riwayat, that this person will, as he will be entering the gates of Jannah, when he will hold sight of the gates, the beautiful gates of Jannah, beyond our comprehension and imagination, just admiring the beauty of the gates of Jannah, a time of 40 years will elapse. 40 years will pass by and this person will just be admiring the gate of Jannah. Can we imagine the beauty that is within? His Jannah, it is mentioned, will be 10 times the size of this world. 10 times the size of this world. That is why, that is the life to live for. That is the life that we should be working for. That is what we should be investing in. Investing in our hereafter. Taking every opportunity to invest in the life hereafter. And then of course, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the Sidratul Muntaha, that low tree. And from that tree it is mentioned that all the a'mal and the deeds, whether good or bad, of all people, it goes to this tree. And from there it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we can understand it when you have a central point. The person has got a network of computers, then he's got his switch or his hub. All the information is linked to the server, for example. So today technology has made these things easy to understand. So all the a'mal and deeds of the believers go to this particular tree. And from there it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this valuable gift of salah. And we know the incident. Initially it was 50 salah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allowed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so to say, brought him, VIP, and hosted him and brought him right up to the seven heavens in his court directly. And then handed him over this gift of salah. From this, respected elders and brothers, we can understand the value, the importance, the greatness of this salah that we have in our lives, which unfortunately we neglect. It was initially 50 salah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came down, met Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. What has Allah given you? The 50 salah. He said, listen, I've tried and tested the Bani Israel, Jewish people. I'm telling you, they will not manage this. Go back and seek a reduction. So Nabi Kareem Sassam goes back, Allah Ta'ala decreases it by 5, he comes back again. Again Musa alayhi salam goes back. Until eventually it comes down to 5. And then Allah Ta'ala says that it is 5 salah, but I will give the reward of 10 for every single salah. In other words, the person who performs 5 salah, it is as if he is performing those 50. Those initial 50 which Allah Ta'ala had allocated, if we will perform our 5 salah, Allah will give us the reward of 50. On this point, we should really make dua for Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Had it not been for his kindness and mercy, what would have been our condition? Would we have managed those 50 salah when we find it so difficult to perform the 5 daily salah? And on that same particular hadith, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that for every reward, for every deed of your ummah, if your ummah makes an intention to do a good deed, he gets 1 reward. If he does the good deed, he gets 10 rewards. If he makes an intention to do a sinful deed, there is no sin. Of course, if he commits the sin, then it's only one sin. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet sometimes we make these kind of statements. Some problem comes in our lives. We say, no, but it's not fair. We are trying to say that Allah is unfair. Remember, Allah is absolutely fair. Allah is absolutely merciful. Allah is absolutely kind. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Allah does not oppress His banda in the least way. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا Allah will never place a burden on an individual beyond his capacity. Therefore, this five salah that we have in our lives, it is within our capacity. It is within our ability. Again, fikr ki ihtimam se hogi. The problem is we do not have, and I address myself first, we do not have the fikr for salah. If a person knows that tomorrow I have got a flight for Umrah, I'm leaving for Umrah tomorrow, the flight is at 5:50 in the morning, time of Fajr Salah in this masjid. So 5:50 in the morning is my flight. To what extent he will go to ensure that he wakes up? And why is that? Because he's got fikr. He's got the fikr, I need to wake up for that in the morning to make it for my flight. And if I'm late and if I don't make it in time, and if I miss, the boarding gates close and finish, I'm going to lose out so much of taklif. Because now there is fikr within himself, therefore he wakes up. Now a person will say, but Maulana, you know, that's only a once-off thing. Every person doesn't go for Umrah every day. Come again, we are the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tu baraye bandagi hai yaad rakh. We have forgotten. We are the bandas of Allah ta'ala every single second and moment. Allah says, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Make the bandagi of your Rabb until you die. This struggle and this fikr has to continue till we leave this world. That is why ad-dunya sijunul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. This dunya is a prison for the believer. It is a paradise for the disbeliever. Yes, we can eat, we can enjoy, we can laugh, we can enjoy our children, enjoy the halal. But a believer has always got this behind. Like how a person is in prison. I have to abide by the rules. I have to wake up at a certain time. I have to wear certain clothing. I am restricted within the walls of this prison. I have to do certain things, cannot do this, whatever it may be. There's restrictions which are placed upon him. Yes, he will eat. Yes, he may even laugh. Yes, he can move around within that area. In the same way, we as believers, we've got rules and regulations and the Sharia which governs our life. And that fikr is always behind us. That fikr must always be there, that I am the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have sold my life. Inna Allah ashtara minal mu'mineen anfusahum wa amwalahum بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ I sold my life. But what am I going to get in return for this? I sold my life. I sold my time. I sold my health. I sold my wealth. I sold it to Allah Ta'ala. And the repayment for that is that Allah will bless me with a Jannah. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ No eye has seen, no ear has heard the beautiful sounds of Jannah. Neither has the thought crossed the mind of the wildest imagination. And forever, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا I will dwell in the Jannah, inshallah, forever and ever and ever. Few years of sabr, few years of restrainment, but then Allah gives us forever. Rightfully, Allah Ta'ala should have said, that listen, you became baligh at the age of 15 or 16, and you passed away at the age of 65. So this limited period of time, I will give you Jannah for that time. Or maybe I'll multiply it 10. So just for that 40 years or 400 years or 500 years, you go Jannah, enjoy it. After that, you turn to dust. But Allah, out of His shan of Karimi and Rahimi, He says that you stay in Jannah forever and ever and ever. Ulama-i Kiram state that the reason behind that is Allah Ta'ala looks at the niyat. The niyat of the believer, and each and every one of us seated here, what is our niyat? We say that, Ya Allah, as long as you give me life, jab tak main zinda rahu, Ya Allah, as long as I am alive, I am going to be worshipping you. If you give me 100 years, I am worshipping you for 100 years. So Allah says His niyat was to worship me forever. His niyat was to be a believer forever. I give him Jannat forever. And similarly, the disbeliever says that I want to remain as a disbeliever and as an idol worshipper for the rest of my life. I am satisfied with this way. So his intention was forever, and therefore he will get Jahannam forever. Again, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He looks at our intentions and inshallah He will bless us with Jannah forever and ever. So respected elders and brothers, the time is now expiring. We need to take home this important lesson. And that is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through this great journey. We can celebrate this moment and speak about the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But until and unless we do not bring these ways into our lives, we are not going to find the success. The Sahaba ikram, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they internalize the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masjid al-Aqsa is mentioned in this particular ayah, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-Aqsa. This topic is a sore point for the ummah. We all know what is happening to Masjid al-Aqsa and what kind of difficulties and challenges are being faced in those particular regions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in the Quran Sharif with regards to this particular area that when the believers, when they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are following the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that this Masjid al-Aqsa goes into the hands of the believers. And similarly, this Masjid al-Aqsa is the barometer of the condition of the Muslim Ummah at large. When the Muslim Ummah will start forgetting their purpose, become engrossed and involved in the activities of this world, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَوَاللَّهِ إِلَى الْفَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. The Qasam of Allah, I do not fear poverty on my Ummah. وَلَكِنْ But what I do fear upon my Ummah, وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. But I fear that dunya will open up upon my Ummah. The world will open up for them. كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Just like how the world opened up for the people before them. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. They will start competing and vying with one another in achieving more and more. I bought one car, now he bought another car, now I need to buy another car, and he upgraded his car, now I need to upgrade my car, and he is upgrading his home, so I need to upgrade my home, and he traveled to this country, so I need to... And we just start competing and competing. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. Just as they competed and vied with one another. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتُمْ. And my ummah will be destroyed just like how the nations of the past were destroyed. So respected elders and brothers, this is something. And again, wahan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing sahaba, the gist of that hadith, he said, a time will come when this ummah will be vast. Will be vast, but all the nations will call one another and say, right, come, let's start killing them. Let's start destroying them. Like how people will be called to a dastarkhan to partake in meals. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, wa min qillatin nahnu yawma idhin. Will it be because we'll be small in number? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. They'll be large in number. They'll be like the foam of the ocean. But wahan will set in the ummah. Sahaba ikram said, wa mal wahanu ya Rasulullah? He said, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Because there's two weaknesses, love, excessive love for dunya, and hating and despising maut and death. These are two qualities we need to look within ourselves. Have I become so attached to dunya, so engrossed in dunya, as Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that there will be love for some dunya. There will be a certain amount of love for dunya. And that is not impermissible. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself expressed love for things of dunya. Itar, a pious woman, pious wife. But what kind of love that is? That is love which is a mild kind of love. It is the attachment, as Maulana Sahib used to give the beautiful example of an envelope. He used to say in the past, when you used to seal the envelopes, if you tried to open it, then it would tear. He said, nowadays you get the envelope, you can seal it and you can open it again. So he said, our attachment to this world should be such that we can quickly detach ourselves. There will be some attachment. A person loves his car to a certain extent. But tomorrow if that car gets stolen or if the son accidentally smashes the car, so he'll say, but this is things of dunya, never mind. No problem. I had an incident which happened in one of the neighboring countries. A little boy, he scraped the father's car. So the father took that nail, that rusted nail which he used, and he scraped his arm. As a result, it became septic and he had to amputate the arm. So the son turned around and told the father after the operation, small child, he said, oh my father, that I promise I won't scratch your car again, but please give me my arm back. Please give me my arm back. So this is when a person becomes so attached to his dunya and that which he owns, because really what really happened there was the child didn't scratch the car, he scratched the heart of the father. But the heart of the father was in the car. So that is what we need to be. We need to remind ourselves that tomorrow if the angel of death strikes, this car will go to someone else. And we see it. One place in Johannesburg, we went to make taziyat of someone. So his father had passed away. His father was a doctor. So his father had on the house Dr. So-and-so. So his father now passed away. So now the name was changed. Now the son is also a doctor. So the son's name went on there. So a lesson. Today the house will belong to us. Today the car is ours. When you leave the world, it goes to someone else. We are actually living in timeshare apartments. Timeshare apartments. We will live here for a few days. We leave this world. Someone else will live there. They leave the world. Someone else lives there. They leave the world. So we need to remind ourselves that we are here for a short period of time. Do not become so attached to the things of this dunya that we forget our real purpose and objective in this world. And that is to prepare for the akhirat. So respected elders and brothers, that lesson, and as well as the lesson of salah, we need to really introspect and look at our salah. As an Umar radiallahu anhu, and inshallah we'll terminate on this, he wrote to his governors, he said, "Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah." When he was Amirul Mu'mineen, he said, "Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah." All his governors, they had different departments and areas that they were seeing to in their various provinces and regions. He said, "The most important affair in my eyes is your salah. Man hafidhaha wa hafadha alayha hafidha deenahu." Whoever looks after his salah, maintains his salah, perfects his salah, hafidha deenahu. His deen is protected. Wa man dhayya'aha fa huwa lima siwaha adya'. And whoever destroys his salah, abandons his salah, exercises negligence with regards to his salah, he will become more neglectful and more destructive in other affairs. So respected elders and brothers, the salah awwalu ma yuhasab, the hadith which we quoted in the initial stages, that the first thing which Allah Ta'ala will ask and ask us to give account with regards to is our salah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made his mi'raj by going to the seven heavens, going in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our mi'raj is when we would place our heads in salah before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our mi'raj is the salah, a gift from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The person who develops a love for salah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Qurratu ayni as-salah." The coolest of my eyes is in salah. Whenever Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through any difficulty, it was salah. Immediately engaged himself in salah. Today, unfortunately, a small percentage of the ummah is performing salah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the believer who does not perform salah is like the example of the human body without the head. Can we imagine a human body without a head? Is there any life in it? Similarly, if our salah is imperfect, then unfortunately that jaan of iman is not there. And that's the difference between us and Sahaba-i-Kiram. We are like the example of the lion in the museum, and the Sahaba-i-Kiram were like the example of the lions in the Kruger National Park. The lion in the Kruger National Park, one roar, finish. The one person had a lion as a pet. So somebody as a guest came to stay over the night. So he came and he stayed there. He was not aware that the lion was kept in the house as a pet. It was domesticated. So late at night, the lights were off. There was a need for him to relieve himself. So he got up. But as he got up, he saw these two glowing balls towards him. And he switched on the light and he saw the lion. So the issue of the toilet got sorted out there and then. There and then, there was no need for him to go to the toilet. So that's the real lion. The person just looks at the lion and he starts shaking. But the lion that's in the museum, the little child will come, jump over and push it down. In fact, they say, do not touch. Both lions, they say, do not go near and do not touch. But the one is because it's so weak that you can just push it over. And the other one is so powerful that it can tear you apart. What's the difference? The one has got life, the one doesn't have life. We claim to be believers. But unfortunately, the true spirit of Iman and Islam, the life of Salah is not there. As a result, we are large in number, but we don't have any might. So respected elders and brothers, those of us who are performing our Salah, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala revives the Salah in the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Salah will come into the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will see the deen of Islam will spread. You won't be able to stop it. It'll be unstoppable. But unfortunately, Salah is so weak. 10% of the Ummah performing Salah. And of those 10%, those who are performing Salah, what is the condition of their Salah? They absolutely negligent. There is a riwayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a believer commences his salah, Allah ta'ala pays attention to him. But as soon as he loses focus in salah, Allah turns his attention away. So now when we perform salah, first of all, what we should try and do is, we should try and come to the masjid at the time of adhan. Come a little earlier if it's not at the time of adhan. At least we can perform our sunnah, or we can sit in the masjid and contemplate for a few moments. What happens is, we're coming out from our businesses or activities at home, and we dart into the masjid and we start salah. Now obviously, that activity of the day will continue in our salah. By the time we make salam, then only we realize we are in salah. Whereas if we come in the masjid a little earlier, have a few moments to contemplate and ponder, what am I here for? I will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Few moments where we cut off. Now inshallah, when we will commence in salah, we just put our mind to everything that we are doing. We don't have to go into a deep state where a person now starts seeing jannat and seeing jahannam. And that is for when a person reaches high maqamat. What we just need to do is just focus on what we are doing. I said, Allahu Akbar. So I focused on that day. My mind is on Subhanaka Allahumma wa bi'amdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka. I'm focusing on what I am doing. And Surah Fatiha, even if I do not keep the mind on what we are doing in salah from the start till the end, we have achieved khushu and khudu in salah. And that Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those believers have achieved success who have developed devotion and concentration in our salah. And you will see, if we will continue in this way, inshallah, that khushu and khudu will focus into the rest of our lives. The person who gets salah right in his lives, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah protects a person from sins also. So that is a separate topic. The time is expired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the salah in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make a short dua inshaAllah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله أو كريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving most loving الله most caring الله Ya Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we have gathered here tonight, Ya Allah, to listen to the talks of Deen, Ya Allah, to listen to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the glorious mi'raj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with the true ishq and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with that abdiyat within our lives, that servitude, Ya Allah. Make us true bandas of yours, Ya Allah. Oh Kareem Rahim Allah, our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, so many moments and seconds in our lives we spent in your disobedience, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah, tonight in this large gathering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have the elderly amidst us, Ya Allah. We have the little ones, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, un sab ki barkat se hum sab ki maghfirat kar de, Ya Allah. With their barakat, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Our major sins, our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those sins which we committed knowingly, unknowingly, Ya Allah. In the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you love to forgive the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you, Ya Allah, to forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, even your sins, Ya Allah, more than the waves of ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah, is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, our children, our spouses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with this concentration and devotion in our salah, Ya Allah. The salah was a great gift from your side, Ya Allah. A mi'raj of the believers, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, today we have become so neglectful with regards to our salah, Ya Allah. We do not concentrate in our salah, Ya Allah. Even in our salah, Ya Allah, we do not remember you, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us for this grave sin, Ya Allah. Bless us with concentration and devotion in our salah. Let us experience the sweetness in our salah, Ya Allah. Just as Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the coolness of my eyes is in salah, Ya Allah. Allah, let us experience that coolness in our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, restore the salah in the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. Let the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perform this salah, Ya Allah, 100%, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, restore the dignity of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, do not look at our sins, Ya Allah. Look at those precious tears of my beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the sake of his Ummah, Ya Allah. That blood which was spilled for the sake of his Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that poverty, those trials and tribulations and challenges which my Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam underwent, Ya Allah, for the sake of his Ummah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, look at that, Ya Allah, and have mercy upon the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, those of our family members who have passed away, Ya Allah, fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our parents, Ya Allah, who have passed away, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, family members, Ya Allah, fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, it is the month of Rajab, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, soon will be the month of Sha'ban and Ramadan, Ya Allah. Bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, Ya Allah. And let us reach the glorious Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us of those who spend the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, valuing every single second and moment, Ya Allah. Let this Ramadan be a turning point in our lives, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us a realization, Ya Allah, that our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. O Allah, the angel of death is following us very, very closely, Ya Allah. Waiting to strike, Ya Allah. O Allah, do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina, Tayyiba, Ya Allah. Radha Mubarak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, As-salatu was-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. O Allah, cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. O Allah, if it is not Muqaddar, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, give us a Mubarak death, Ya Allah. O Allah, you are well aware all the good desires, aspirations, wishes, Ya Allah. Each and every one who has raised his hand, Ya Allah. O Allah, fulfill all the good desires, aspirations, whatever difficulty, parishani, pain, taklif, sickness they are going through, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove it, alleviate it, bifadrika, wajudika, wakaramika, ya akram al-akramin. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them shifai, kamil, ajil, mustamir, daim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah, bless them with plentiful of halal, risk and sustenance, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.